Welcome to the Simple Money, Simple Life podcast. I am Matt Erickson, and I'm your host. This is a podcast where we explore how simplicity beats complexity, especially in money matters. We explore investing, personal finance, and how to live a simple and awesome life. Hey guys, welcome to the Simple Money, Simple Life podcast, episode 75, titled California Dreamin'. And it's been a while since I dropped an episode, and I apologize for that. It's just been a busy stretch where I've been occupied with other things, and that's just how it's going to be sometimes since I provide this podcast for free and don't do any affiliate links or endorsements. I feel like it's okay to certainly do that. So we as a family went to Southern California for spring break, and we went to Disneyland and California Adventure, and we also went to Malibu Beach, and we also went to Laguna Beach, and we went to one other beach. It's slipping my mind right now what it was called, but it was a good trip. It was fun. It was really warm there. It was over 100 degrees one day, but didn't seem to bother us. The warm weather was nice, and it was fun to be in a different environment doing some fun things with my wife and my kids. One of my boys, my oldest, was not with us. He is in Texas serving a mission right now, and so he'll be there for the next, he's been out for about 9 months now, so he'll be out there for a little bit over a year before he comes back home. So I was just with my two boys and my wife, and thought I would just share a few thoughts on what it was like in California and just kind of how it applies to the concepts of this podcast too. I talk a lot about simplicity as well as financial wellness and investing and whatnot, and we'll get to some of that in a minute. But a few things I noticed about California: the gas prices. Gas was right now in Utah, it's in the $4.50 a gallon range. It's really high. But in California, it was between like $6 and $7 a gallon, so it was super expensive. We had a couple different rental cars while we were there. One of them was this little Chevy car that was tiny and hardly used any gas, so we didn't have to pay a lot of money in gas, even though we drove quite a bit. The traffic was quite brutal in California, and there are just cars everywhere. The freeways are kind of packed. Off the freeways are quite busy. There were a few moments where we were able to drive peacefully without a lot of traffic, but a lot of the time it was pretty bad. When we went to Laguna Beach and Irvine, it wasn't too bad through there, but most of the other places we went, it was quite busy and quite crowded. So yeah, it's different than being in Utah, where there's a lot of space and not as many people. Wherever we went, and it probably had to do with part of it being Utah's spring break, and the weather was really beautiful, so a lot of people were out. Their parking places were hard to find. Beaches were pretty crowded. There were just lots and lots of people everywhere we went. And so another thing that's interesting kind of about California is it seems like image is really important there. And this is not a bash California podcast, because I love California and really enjoyed being there and enjoy a lot of things about it. It's a beautiful state. Just noting a few differences that I noticed, but yeah, image is super important there. It seems a lot of luxury vehicles, a lot of Teslas and Mercedes and BMWs and Porsches and the like, and just the way people dress and kind of carry themselves, it seems to be a very important part of the California culture. And so I think that's interesting. It seems like to me it would be a lot of pressure for a lot of people to live there to uphold that image and drive certain things and dress certain ways. And the cost of living clearly is high there, but seems like it would be much higher just because of kind of the culture of a lot of the way people do things there. We went to Disneyland and California Adventures, which is basically, those of you who haven't been, you walk in the entrance and California Adventure is on the left, Disneyland is on the right. They're both owned by the same company but have separate entrances. And so we spent a few days there. It was really, really, really crowded, and lines were super long. There were some times when we waited for probably maybe over 90 minutes to get on a ride, but my wife was good about getting, they have this thing called the Lightning Lane, used to be called the Fast Pass, where if you pay $15 per person per day, you can use a certain number of these lightning lanes where you don't have to wait in as long of a line. And so they really move those through people through pretty quickly, but you can only use it for each ride. You can only use it once per day, and you can only schedule them a certain amount of time. So you can't just do them repeatedly. You have to kind of space them out throughout the day. So it takes some strategy, and it's a little complicated, but it certainly was worth it to be able to ride more rides. We also discovered a little Disneyland hack. Some of the rides, you can do a single rider line, there's a Cars ride there, which is really cool, but to ride that, you have to wait for 90 minutes to 2 hours. And so if you do the single rider line and you don't insist on riding with your party, you can get through the line in like 15 minutes or so. So that was really good. But we were waiting in one of the lines for a long, long time. And there was this guy in front of us with his family. And man, was he giving the poor Disneyland employees the business about the Lightning Lane rules. And because they just shuffle them on while the other poor people wait in line forever. And so it's the design of the park is clearly to incentivize you to pay the extra money for the Lightning Lane. Otherwise, you'll be waiting in line forever for every ride. And so this guy was really mad and giving this employee the business, which the employee obviously has no control over that. He just does his job the way he's supposed to be doing his job. And he just said, "Sorry, sir, I'm just doing my job." Yeah, but the guy was clearly irritated. But overall, even though the crowds were huge and the lines were long and the weather was hot, it was interesting because I only saw like a couple times the whole time where people were mean to each other or mistreating each other. Most people I observed were very kind to one another and to the staff there. So I thought that was really cool. But it was interesting to see the culture of Disneyland and how Disney has really been so brilliant in their marketing and pulling people into their culture and their kind of way. Like they sell these mini ears that are like Minnie Mouse that women wear on their heads when they're at Disneyland. They're $30. They probably cost about $2 to manufacture, and they're everywhere. Also, I'd say it's more common than not to have people wearing a Disneyland shirt that they have purchased in Disneyland that was probably made in China. So the shirts, the paraphernalia, the mini ears, it was just crazy how Disney is kind of gouging people at every turn, but people are fully willing and ready to pay the dollars. I mean, to go to Disneyland now it's getting into elitist territory with how much it costs and how the price of the tickets and kind of where that's headed. I think they're pricing some people out, but I don't think they care because they're still filling that thing up. You have to get a ticket in advance now, and I kind of wish they would limit how many people go in there, and maybe they do, but if they do, it's a lot of people. So, I kind of got a little bit sick while I was there too, which put a slight damper on it, but even though it was crowded, it was hot, they gouge you on prices, it's kind of hard to get around because of the traffic, even with all that, I'm still really glad we went, and I really had a fun time. Spending time with my wife and my kids and just enjoying each other's company, enjoying doing different things that were available down there. I thought Laguna Beach was gorgeous and just a beautiful place. It was my favorite of the beaches we went to, and I thought it was just really nice. So it was a fun trip, and it was also, we stayed there about a week, but it also felt good to come home. It typically does after a vacation. It was nice to come home and kind of be able to breathe and have space and not be crowded. And people who grow up in cities and around a lot of people and in crowded environments do tend to have different brain wiring due to the constant stress and honking horns and pressure. Cortisol levels are different. So it's a different kind of thing living in a city and being around so many people. Shifting gears a little bit, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in the world right now and investing. So Russia invaded Ukraine and there's a war going on over there, and which is super sad for the people of Ukraine. There's a lot of people who are fleeing the country and leaving, and a lot of people in really bad shape. And it's a horrible, awful thing that's happening to them. And it has affected the markets. The markets have been down this year. Gas prices have shot up. Inflation is kind of roaring right now at like 8-9%. And so the cost of housing has gone up considerably. The cost of groceries and goods has gone up. I filled up our car. I mean, to fill up an SUV now, you're going to be paying over $70 to fill it up, maybe closer to $100. So prices are just going up. And so the market has been down. And like, for example, yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average went down 950 points, which is a lot in one day. And so it's been very volatile. There have been some big days. There have been a lot of down days. I think the market is down somewhere between 5 and 10% for the year. So it's been rough. And I have people talk and ask about, well, is this a good time to invest? Some people say, I'm sitting on the sidelines until things settle down. And so I want to comment on that if that happens to be you. So there is always going to, in our world there, going forward, I suspect there will always be geopolitical events going on that affect the short-term markets. There will always be issues going on with either inflation or presidential elections, or things will be happening that will affect the markets in the short term. There will be, I think, a lot of balancing, a lot of volatility, a lot of going up and down. And so to wait on the sidelines until things settle down, quote unquote, I think is an unwise strategy. I don't know if things ever settle down. The markets go up, they go down, they go sideways. And so if there's a lot of people still sitting on the sidelines from 2008 that have not got chosen to get back in because the market went down 50% and they felt super burned and frustrated that they 50% of their money in their account evaporated. Now, if they just would have held tight and been patient, a few years later, they would have had their money back and begin to grow again. And over the last 10 years, we had a COVID spike last year where the market went down 30%, but it bounced back up in 2 months. The market has been on a pretty steady trajectory up until this year. And so, and who knows what's going to happen the rest of the year. It might be up by the time the year ends. Right now, it's not looking like that's the case, but we don't know what the future will hold. And so waiting until the market settles down to invest, I think, is a poor strategy. Like right now is a great time to invest. The market is down quite a bit. And so what that means is shares of these mutual funds and ETFs are on sale. So you buy them now and you get more shares, which they are cheaper because the market has gone down. So it's like buying things on sale. A lot of people can't really emotionally wrap their head or psychologically wrap their head around that because it doesn't feel right with investing, but that's the way we need to look at it. So I think the best strategy is to make, if you have a 401k, to make sure that your dollar cost averaging, which means every paycheck you're putting a percentage, hopefully 10 to 20% into your retirement accounts, and that you have a plan in place that you're following no matter what is happening with the markets or in the world, that you're buying into the market on a consistent basis. Now, if you don't have a 401k and you're doing an IRA or a Roth IRA, same thing, you can still set up your investments to invest once a month a certain amount so that you max it out by the end of the year. And so if you're a type of person who likes to sit on cash and just invest a couple times throughout the year waiting for a dip, some people do that. I don't think it's wise because no one can predict the future. Like right now the market's down, but we don't know if it will keep going down or if it's going to go back up. But if you're one of those people, well, get in right now. The market is down. It could go down more, sure, but also could bounce back up. So I think right now is a great time to dump some money into the market. Now, remember, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not giving financial advice. I'm just giving my random opinions. So Some people will sit and wait and wait for the market to go down, hoping to buy a bigger dip or cheaper shares. But I think dollar cost averaging evens out the ride so that you buy when the market's up, you buy when the market's down, you buy when it's sideways, and that way you capture all of those. So, but if you're waiting to fund your Roth IRA, for example, if you have your $6,000 or $7,000, if you're over 50 waiting in an account and you're ready to invest, get it in right now is a great time to do that. It's really important. Like I heard someone say the other day that they have 25% of their 401k money sitting in cash. And that I do not understand, especially if you're far away from retirement. You want your money in your 401k invested, in your Roth IRA invested in index funds or ETFs so that you can be taking advantage of the market up. The year over year, the market goes up 70% of the time. Month over month, it's like 50% of the time. But if you look at years, it's 70% of the time. And almost every 10-year cycle, the market goes up, almost every. So keeping your money in the market and not trying to time the market is the way to go for sure. There's only often a handful of days during the year when you make a lot of your money in the market. And if you're pulled out during that time, you'll lose out on those gains. So just leaving your money in, even if there's crazy stuff going on in the world and the markets are going all over the place, just trust the process. Look at a long-term graph of how the market works. It's like a yo-yo, a guy doing a yo-yo walking up a hill. It bounces around, but it steadily climbs and goes up. You just have to be willing to play the long game, not try to get rich quick off of cryptocurrencies or meme stocks, and just trust the process and look at history. Now, there's no guarantee that history will repeat itself, but so far it's been pretty consistent with the market kind of trending up. So the last thing I want to talk about today, a little bit longer episode today, but I want to talk a little bit about why sometimes too much of a good thing can be a bad thing. And so I was thinking about certain little perks of life that people enjoy, such as eating out, for example. If you start to eat out every day, eating out starts to lose its appeal. However, if you eat out maybe once a week, maybe twice a week, something like that, it tends to be more enticing and enjoyable when you do it. But if you get into a habit of doing it every day, then it's not so much of a good thing anymore. It can kind of turn into a bad thing. It costs a lot of money, expand your waistline, and the food doesn't taste as good if you're doing it all the time. Another thing I was thinking about is traveling. So people who travel for their job often get really sick of it. They get sick of being on the airplanes and changing time zones and packing and unpacking. But if you travel as a hobby or a passion or an interest and you do it maybe a couple times a year, then it can be super fun and exciting and enjoyable thing to look forward to. So some people fall into the trap of trying to do what everybody else is doing on Instagram and visiting every place. And I think a lot of times it can lose its appeal if you are doing it for those reasons. However, if you do it just sparingly and once in a while and really look forward and plan those trips and take some months in between, at least that's the way it works for me. I can find it very, very enjoyable. Certain hobbies can be this way too, where if you go all in, you can burn yourself out, you can spend too much money, you can get a bunch of clutter. I think shopping is that way. If you shop in moderation, it can be good. But if you shop all the time and it becomes your number one coping mechanism for stress, it can lead to a lot of unnecessary items and an empty bank account and wallet. I think another thing that sometimes is a good thing but can turn into a bad thing is feeling like you have to always have the newest and the best and always upgrading. You have to have the newest phone. You have to have the newest car. You have to have the newest computer and the newest bike or whatever you're into. And I think just getting out of the mindset of having to have the latest and the greatest and the best and being content with the version you have, at least for a while, tends to be a good thing. If you're always feeling like you have to upgrade and have the newest and the best, I think that can turn into a bad thing. And another thing I think is feeling the pressure to always get your kids new stuff and the best stuff, I think can also turn into a bad thing. If you spread it out, make it a little more random, maybe have them earn some of it, I think it can be a really good thing. But for those parents who feel guilty and feel like they have to constantly give their kids stuff, I think that is unwise for the parent and the child. Remember on a past episode, I talked about the happiness curve, and happiness goes up as we're making money. And as we get to a point where we have enough and a little bit more than enough, the curve begins to flatten. And then when we get into extravagant things, we don't really get much of a bump in our happiness level. The only way to increase it after that point, at least according to this research, is to start to give some of it away and be kind and generous with others with what we have and our means. So remember, chasing happiness over excessive amounts of things or items or house or car or clothes is a journey that will not end in increased units of happiness. Finding enough and defining your enough and reminding yourself of enough can be a super peaceful way to live. Like, for example, the other day I went into Kohl's to return something from Amazon, and I picked up a nice pair of little kind of springtime gloves that I can wear on my walks in the morning, and got them for a great deal. And walking through the store, it was awesome because they have so many things in there, but I didn't really feel tempted or drawn to buy clothes or buy other things just because I have enough right now and I don't feel that pull to buy things when I'm in a store like that. It's kind of a nice way to live, and it's kind of a more peaceful, in my mind, way to live. And so just a few thoughts there. That will be it for today's episode. Hope you're all doing awesome and enjoying the beautiful springtime. Hope this podcast finds you all enjoying life, enjoying your family, enjoying your hobbies and your job and your life. If you want to reach out to this show, you can certainly email me at simplemoneysimplelife@gmail.com. And I respond to all my emails that I get there. I probably will not be podcasting every week, as my private practice that I'm doing for mental health therapy has gotten pretty busy, and I'm putting most of my effort into that right now. But I will continue to podcast, as I tend to really enjoy this platform and the opportunity to share my thoughts and messages with all of you. I would super appreciate it if you could do a review on Apple Podcasts if you haven't yet. And also share it with a friend, share it on social media, or pass it along to someone who might benefit from the Simple Money, Simple Life message. And remember, the simple life is a good life.